السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله على إحسانه، والشكر له على توفيقه وامتنانه، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له تعظيما لشأنه، وأشهد أن نبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله الداعي إلى رضوانه، صلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه. أما بعد، فيا عباد الله، قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم، الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم، لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم، له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض، من ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه، يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم، ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء، وسع كرسيه السماوات والأرض، ولا يؤوده حفظهما، وهو العلي العظيم. صدق الله العظيم. My respected brothers and elders in Islam, all praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our creator, our nourisher, our cherisher, our sustainer and provider. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most powerful. Nothing in this dunya happens, takes place, occurs without the permission of Allah. Each and every single thing around us glorifies Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But you and I cannot comprehend its glorification. How do they glorify Allah? May peace and salutations be upon the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon him, upon his family, and upon his companions till the day of Qiyamah. Respected brothers and elders in Islam, the Quran talks about the believers, the mu'mineen, being pulled out of darkness, multiple shades of darknesses on multiple occasions. And the occasion that I wish to speak to you a little about in this session, inshallah, is the one that I recited to you. And this verse that I recited to you is known as the Ayatul Kursi. This is a very famous verse in the Quran. Rather, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that this verse is Sayyidatu Ayatul Quran. This is the grand or chief or leader, the grand chief verse from all the verses of the Quran. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this particular verse, Ayatul Kursi, He describes His most fundamental qualities. That how great is Allah. That how powerful Allah is. How magnificent Allah is. And how supreme Allah is. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the beginning of this verse, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum. That Allah, there is no ilah but He. Al-Hayyul Qayyum, the ever-loving, the maintainer of everything. Now you must understand that this verse, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-Hayyul Qayyum, this Ayatul Kursi, is a Madani verse. This verse is revealed in Medina. This verse is not revealed in Makkah. And the Muslims, together with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, have already migrated from Makkah and they have moved into Medina. And some of them have accepted Islam right from the beginning, and some of them were relatively new Muslims. But all of them knew the basic teachings of Islam. All of them knew the basic teachings of Islam. And the most basic teaching of Islam is the kalima La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If a person wants to become a believer, if he wants to become a mu'min, then he has to utter the shahada, he has to utter the kalima, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, for him to become a believer. And subhanallah, this far into the message of Islam, as I said, the Muslims have already migrated, now they are in Medina. This far in the message of Islam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses to reveal a verse like Ayatul Kursi, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum. The Muslims already know that there is no ilah but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Why? Have we ever pondered? Have we ever thought as to why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is revealing this verse, Allahu la ilaha illa wal hayyul qayyum in Medina? This should have been in Makki Quran. Subhanallah. But these Madani ayat, these verses that are revealed in Medina that constitute the mention of Tawheed, the mention of the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are not just for information purposes to tell us that there is no ilah but Allah, because everybody knows that. They are not there to inform us. Rather, these ayat are there to remind us. They are coming as a tazkira. They are there to remind us that we Muslims, we need to refresh and we need to revive our iman. And this is called tajdeedul iman. Tajdeedul iman is a beautiful part of our deen, because our faith isn't just an intellectual thing that we recite kalima la ilaha illallah and it stops there and we don't feel this kalima la ilaha illallah. We need to be reminded so that we feel this kalima la ilaha illallah. So these madani ayat come to remind us that we need to renew our iman. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in another verse in the Quran says, أَلَمْ يَأْنِي لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَمَا نَزَلَ مِنَ الْحَقِّ. Has the time not come for the believers, for their hearts, to fear from the remembrance of Allah and from whatever is being revealed to them of the truth? So these ayat are a reminder for us to renew and to refresh our iman. And then if we look at this, La ilaha, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum. In this La ilaha, there is a negation. We are negating something here. And what are we negating? We are negating every form, every kind, every shape of shirk. That there is no ilah but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now when the mushrikeen in Makkah, when they used to hear these type of verses, these ayat, they knew that these ayat have come to negate the shirk that they were doing in Makkah. But here we are in Medina. Suratul Baqarah is a Madani verse. The mushrikeen are in Makkah, they're not yet in Medina. Idol worshipping is taking place in Makkah, not yet in Medina. And Allah says, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum. So you must remember there's another kind of shirk we're talking about in this verse. There are two types or two kinds of shirk. And one kind of shirk is the obvious kind of shirk. One is the obvious kind of shirk. That was what the mushrikeen were doing. They were worshipping the idols, the Manat, the Uzza, the Lat. And Allah specifically takes their names in the Quran, Lat, Manat and Uzza. They were worshipping these idols and they would ascribe these things as partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this was the obvious kind of shirk. But then there's another kind of shirk. And this is known as the batin or the inside, or we would call it the hidden kind of shirk. And this hidden kind of shirk was creeping into the Muslims in Medina. This hidden kind of shirk was creeping into the Muslims of Medina. And what's this hidden kind of shirk? This is the shirk of nifaq. This is the shirk of nifaq. This nifaq was creeping into the Muslims of Medina. So just like how the obvious kind of shirk will be destroyed and demolished by the kalima la ilaha illallah in Makkah, likewise this hidden kind of shirk, which is the shirk of nifaq, will be destroyed by this exact same kalima, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on to say, Al-Hayyul Qayyum, Allahu la ilaha. We discussed the first part, La ilaha illa hu. Then Allah says, Al-Hayyul Qayyum, that Allah, He is the ever-loving. He is the maintainer. He maintains every single thing. When you internalize this, you will realize that all my achievements and all what I get goes back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing belongs to me. Every single thing belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I take no credit. All credit goes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are many people out there who are much more intelligent than I am. There are many people out there who are much more well-versed, much more learned than I am. There are many people out there who are better spoken than I am. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't afford them the opportunities. Allah doesn't afford them opportunities. But then there are many people out there who are much less intelligent than I am. And who are much less qualified than I am. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala affords them all the opportunities. Why? Because He is Al-Hayy and He is Al-Qayyum. He is the ever-loving and He is the maintainer of every single thing. And you will realize that your life doesn't belong to you. Your life isn't in your control, it doesn't belong to you. This life of yours can be taken away at any given moment by Allah. Why? Because He is the ever-loving. You're gonna die one day. He is Al-Hayy, He is the ever-loving. And He is the maintainer of that life because He is Al-Qayyum, He is the maintainer of every single thing. Subhanallah. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم. That sleep and slumber do not overcome Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah doesn't fall sleepy. Insan, we become sleepy. We become drowsy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't need rest. Allah doesn't need to sleep. Allah doesn't need downtime. Insan, we need to relax. We need rest. We need to sleep. لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. That to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala belongs whatever is in the heavens and whatever is in the earth. How many times we come across this verse in the Quran and we don't even take notice of this verse. This verse comes so many times in the Quran. لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. To Him belongs whatever is in the heavens, whatever is in the earth, whatever is between them, whatever is above the heavens, whatever is beneath the earth. All of it belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, for example, when you buy a property or you buy a house and your name is on the title, and you know, when finally you get the deed and it says that owner of property is in your name, and you become elated, you become happy, you become, you know, how excited you become because you see the owner of the property is in your name. Just above that right, لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. That this house doesn't belong to me. This is not my house. To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala belongs everything. How many of us when we jump into our cars, how many of us think that you know what, these cars are not mine. These cars belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we open our closet and we see so much clothing, how many of us think that these clothes do not belong to me, they aren't mine. These clothes belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you know when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ, what does it mean? He is in complete control. He is in complete charge of every single thing. He is in complete control and charge of every single thing. So where are you going to go to? Who can you turn to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for your needs? Generally in the dunya we have needs. So we go to the lawyer because he has the expertise. We go to the shop because we know the shop has the supply. Or we go to the judge because we know he's in a position of authority. But there is no day that will come. There is no day that will come that will be clearer about needs than the day of Qiyamah. If ever there's a day that you and I will feel need, it will be the day of Qiyamah. Because we won't have any helper. He won't have any protector. He won't have any family to turn to. Nobody's going to help us on that day. And that's the day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَشْفَعُ. In the next part Allah says, مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَشْفَعُ عِنْدَهُ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ. Allah says, that who is there to intercede on this person's behalf? Anyone wants to put up a case on this person's behalf? Who is there to intercede on this person's behalf? Unless I grant him leave, and unless I grant him permission. And we all know that this honor will be given to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This honor of shafa'ah. And he will intercede on behalf of the people. But again, look at the tone. All those who know Arabic will understand what I'm saying. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't say, mani alladhi. Look at the tone. Look how Allah expressed himself. Allah said, man dhalladhi. Who at all? Is there anyone out there who wants to talk on this person's behalf? And you know when you come to the court and it is judgment day and you are the accused and now your lawyer has to come and bring up some new evidence. He needs to defend his plaintiff. He needs to defend you, the accused person. Allah says on that day, يَعْلَمُ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمَا خَلْفَهُمْ. Allah knows it all. Allah doesn't need anybody to come and tell him anything. Allah knows it all. In another verse, Allah says, يوم تشهد عليهم ألسنتهم وأيديهم وأرجلهم بما كانوا يعملون. On that day their tongues and their hands and their feet will bear witness over what they used to do in the dunya. يعلم ما بين أيديهم. You'll be sitting in front of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what is in front of you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what is behind you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows every single thing. Whatever we learn, compared to the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is something small. Or I can't even say small. It's nothing compared to the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This reminds me of another beautiful verse. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاللَّهُ أَخْرَجَكُمْ مِنْ بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ شَيْئًا. Allah says that Allah, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who removed you from the bellies, from the wombs of your mothers. It was not the doctor who removed you, who brought you alive into the dunya. It was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was not the doctor, it was not the C-section that brought you alive. It was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who removed you from the bellies, from the wombs of your mothers. And Allah could have said, مَا عَلِمْتُمْ شَيْئًا. And you didn't know anything. But here Allah says, لَا تَعْلَمُونَ شَيْئًا. This is hal. Allah says, Allah removed you from the wombs of your mothers and you still don't know anything. Subhanallah. How much do we know then? Do we still claim that we have some ilm? We still have some knowledge? Even the malaika are more learned than us. Malaika have more knowledge than us. We hear about the arsh of Allah. Malaika are making tawaf of the arsh of Allah. We hear about jinn. Malaika are seeing jinn. They see jinn. We hear about Allahul Mahfuz. Malaika are guarding the Allahul Mahfuz. We perform a'mal. We perform deeds. And every single deed is recorded. Kitabun marqum. The malaika recording every single deed of ours. Sometimes we forget we performed a certain deed. But malaika, they don't forget, they write. They remember our deeds better than us. But subhanallah, look what the malaika have to say. Rabbana. Rabbana la ilma lana illa ma 'allamtana. Master. Master, we have absolutely no knowledge. But that amount that you have taught us. And we insan, we still feel we have some knowledge. We still think we know something. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His maqam, His Rabb. And what is Rabb? Rabb is the highest maqam, the highest position anybody can have is Rabb. There's nothing greater, there's nothing higher than the maqam, than the position of Rabb. And we insan, we are ibad, we are abd. Wa ibadur rahman. We are abd. There is no lower position, no lower maqam than the maqam of abd. There can be no lower job description that's given in the maqam of abd. We are right at the bottom. We are right at the ground. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is right up there, His maqam. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, وَسِعَ كُرْسِيُّهُ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Allah says that His kursi, translated as a footstool, or a chair, or footstool. This kursi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it encompasses the heavens and the earth. And subhanallah, in a hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, that there are seven heavens and seven earths. And the distance between each heaven is a distance of 500 years. So between heaven 1 and 2, the distance of 500 years. Until we get to the heaven, between 6 and 7, the distance of 500 years. Above the seventh heaven, comes the kursi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now the seven heavens and the seven earths all put together in front of this kursi of Allah, in front of this kursi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is like a ring in a massive, large, huge desert. Subhanallah. Above this kursi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encompasses every single thing. Now the seven heavens and the seven earths and the kursi of Allah, all of them put together in front of the arch of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is like a ring in a desert. Subhanallah. Loftier than this maqam, higher than this maqam, greater than this position is the position of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How magnificent is Allah? How powerful is Allah? How great is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How high and how lofty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا يَؤُودُهُ حِفْظُهُمَا وَلَا يَؤُودُهُ حِفْظُهُمَا وَهُوَ الْعَلِيُّ الْعَظِيمُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that to guard these heavens and these earths, they do not exhaust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Guarding them does not tire out Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It doesn't exhaust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you know what that really means? Guarding the heavens, guarding the earth, guarding the sun, guarding the moon, guarding humankind, guarding jinnkind, guarding the animals, guarding the birds in the sky, guarding the fish in the ocean, guarding that little bird that left its nest, guarding the egg that is still in the nest. Subhanallah. Allah says all of these things do not tire him. وَلَا يَؤُودُهُ حِفْظُهُمَا وَهُوَ الْعَلِيُّ الْعَظِيمُ. And you know, in human experience, with guarding, with it comes exhaustion. And we have a guard that's guarding a place. If we don't have shifts, then he'll become tired. If he stands there whole day, whole night, he'll become tired. If he doesn't march from one place to another place, he'll become tired. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, but Allah, fi haqqi Allahi azza wa jal, guarding the heavens and the earth, do not exhaust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the least. But, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَهُوَ الْعَلِيُّ الْعَظِيمُ. And He is the high, He is the lofty, He is the azim, the supreme being, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Really, my dear brothers and elders in Islam, how interesting is this verse, Ayatul Kursi, known as the grand chief ayah of all the ayats of the Quran. I didn't even yet go into the fadail, into the virtues of reading Ayatul Kursi. I intended to go on into the tafsir of the next verse, La Ikraha Fiddeen. But of course, we don't have time to go into the next verse. But just to give you a brief glimpse into the next verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after mentioning and after telling us how great Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, La Ikraha Fiddeen. That I am great. I am powerful. There's absolutely no coercion, no forcing anybody into the faith of Islam. In another verse, Allah says, فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ. Because Allah is great. Allah doesn't need you. You need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ. Whoever wants to bring iman, then let him bring iman. He'll be benefiting himself. وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ. And whoever wants to disbelieve, then let him disbelieve. That will only be to his detrimental. In another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that your job, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is just balagh. You have to convey, you have to pass on the message, you have to preach this kalima la ilaha illallah. لَيْسَ عَلَيْكَ هُدَاهُمْ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءَ. Allah says that their guidance isn't in your control. Their guidance isn't in your hand. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides whoever He wishes. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah says, وَهُوَ الْعَلِيُّ الْعَظِيمُ. Allah, He is the High, He is the Supreme. Then my dear brothers and elders, let us not forget that today, being the day of Jumu'ah, there is a moment of acceptance, a moment of ijabah that is found on every Friday. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that whoever salutes Allah, whoever makes dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this particular moment, this moment of ijabah, let him know that his dua is readily granted, readily accepted for him. And the ulama have mentioned that this waqtul ijabah, this time of acceptance, is between the asr and between the maghrib salah. So let us not waste our time. Let us come into the masjid early. Let us engage ourselves in ibadah. Let us engage ourselves in dua. Let us not forget our Muslim brethren out there who are suffering from different types of calamities, disasters that are befalling them on a daily basis. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assist one and all. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help them, assist them, aid them with His divine nusra, with His divine help. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.